Today's episode of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast, proudly brought to you by the good folks over at TouringPlans.com. Did you know that with the TouringPlans.com subscription, you'll have access to over 140 premium touring plans? That's right, there's a touring plan for everybody. Some of the touring plans that you can check out are the one-day touring plans for parents with small children, the Dumbo or Die in a Day touring plan, the Happy Family Touring Plan, which makes sure everybody in the family gets what they want, and a one-day touring plan for tweens. That's just a few of the touring plans that are just for the Magic Kingdom. So check out our friends over at TouringPlans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 260 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com, and it's Friday, and it's time to talk some Disney with some friends. You know, we're in September. It's Labor Day weekend. You know, we get 3 days to just chill and relax for all the work we do all year. You know, and I think we should get more than one day, but I guess you got to take that up with the president. So, joining me today, we have from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, Ricky. What's going on, Ricky?
Well, I just wanted to talk about, I wrote a blog post this week. It is about Kungaloosh 2010. And for those who don't know, it's pretty much a fan gathering of those who love the Adventurers Club. So if you're interested in going to Kungaloosh 2010, check out my blog, DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, and it'll have all the details. So, and I have videos of Adventurers Club stuff on there, so that's always good, too. Yeah.
You know, I've heard good things about that in the past. I know that Lou's done some, you know, really detailed specials on what happens and how they bring back former cast members that worked at the Adventurers Club. But do you have dates, and when's it going to happen?
It is going to happen, actually, right after we get back, so I'm kind of sad that I won't be able to go. It's October 8th through the 10th. And this year, they have probably the coolest thing. They have, like, this brand new script, once-in-a-lifetime show that they're doing at the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular Theater. So, ooh. And it's got, like, the actual characters, performers from the show. So, seriously, I am so jealous of every person who gets to go see that, because that sounds amazing. So, just a couple days too early. Dang it.
You know, you can't see it all, but who was your favorite cast member? Was it Abby Cadabby or something?
I liked quite a few. There's a guy whose name is Blondie. He's actually still there. And then there's another one. I don't know what his name was, but he always played Hathaway Brown or Otis. And he can be seen at the American Idol Experience. I know that for sure. He's got the short curly brown hair. I really liked him too.
What, so. Does he do like the warm up act or what?
No. He's the Simon character.
Oh,
I've seen him
nice.
As the Simon character. That's good, so, good yeah.
Job. Okay, cool. Well, he's a character of all right, that's for sure.
So, right, exactly.
in our own personal Paul, not Simon, we have Debbie from down in Florida. How's it going, Debbie?
Thank you for clarifying that. That's actually well.
That's right. What can I do? What's up, Deb?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm kind of bummed out. I wanted so bad to go to Disney World this weekend because it's holiday weekend. But you know what? I can't because I've got a lot of stuff I've got to do here at the house. So,
ooh. Yeah, but you're close. You can get there, you know.
I know. But it's like I thought, you know, it'd be great just to go down and hang out in the park for the day. But holiday weekend? Ooh, I don't think so. I think I'll just sit around here and think what Disney's going to do for the year 40-year celebration.
Very nice. And you know that we're, you know, 4 weeks from today, we're going to be there with so many friends and having such a great time. So it's cool.
I know. What a celebration. How cool is that, huh?
It's going to be. And, you know, we just keep getting more new listeners, you know, joining us on the boards and, you know, on Twitter saying they want to come by. And we know that it's going to be a little crowded at the Treehouse Live show, but we're all friends and I just can't wait. And it's going to be so great to meet so many
great
Disney friends.
Please wear deodorant.
Yes. Maximum strength.
The sweatiest that weekend, okay? Especially in
nice.
Exactly. And also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. How's it going, Pam?
It's going fine. I have my deodorant on. I encourage all of you to have your deodorant on. No, I'm doing fine. As I talked about last week on the podcast, I have extra zucchini. I've had a few people offer to take me up on that. Jay in particular said he was going to make zucchini bread. So looking forward to that. I hope, you know, I have the opportunity to give some. Maybe I'll be bringing some down in my luggage.
I just can't help but get this visual image that when you get to the treehouse, Mike slaps a name tag on you, Pam hands you a piece of zucchini, and Ricky says, well, raise your arms, and she swats
your arms. You got that right.
Like a little Simply line.
Right. That's our idea of a good time.
That's right.
So now we just knocked down how many people were coming by half, by at least half. Very nice. So now I brought a fit comfortably. So, well, we have some news about the Treehouse event, and we know that everybody can't come, and we're going to try to bring that to you live on Magical Mouse Radio, because I know that there's so many events at Walt Disney World that I don't get to attend. You know, I'm going to go down for every single thing. But it's, you know, it's kind of nice when you can hear what's happening. So we're going to try to broadcast live on Magical Mouse Radio. And Pam, if you would share with everybody one of the most exciting things that will be happening during the live show.
I will. I'm happy to. We will be giving away a 2-night stay at a deluxe resort. And I know that we've talked about this a few times. But now we're going to make it a little more interesting, because this is something we've talked about, I think, a few times on the podcast. The stay that we give away, and this is up to the user, it can either be a 2-night stay at a deluxe resort or a 4-night stay at a moderate.
Can I win?
No.
Dang it. Never.
So that, I think that that makes it kind of interesting, because it really gives people something to think about. I mean, so it's free. So I think it's a great opportunity to explore.
Yes.
But... yeah. We all like to be at Disney for as long as we can. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting, I think, to see what the winner chooses. But anyways, yeah, so that's exciting. And there'll be lots of other prizes, too. And I think we'll have to figure out some way that maybe people who are listening can win at least some of the prizes. I don't know about the big prize. We'll have to decide all that. Of course, it's already all been decided and laid out and planned out for months now.
Right. We are the most... we're the most organized podcast of them all, right?
I'm going to have to read the minutes from the last five or six VOGP meetings.
Yeah, exactly.
See exactly what was decided by the board. But anyways...
No, but that, you know, I think that it's really funny, though, that it's going to put the winner in this conundrum, you know, that we talked about on the show. And it's great when you're thinking hypothetically, you know, oh, I would stay for as long as possible in a value, or, you know what, I want to go down for a super great stay in a deluxe. I mean, now you actually get to make a decision and you get to, you know, follow through with it. So, you know, I was thinking about this before the show. I don't know exactly what I would do.
No,
really.
Neither.
I mean,
that's a tough choice.
You know, like 2 nights staying at the Polynesian would be a dream come true. That's but I mean, I could spend
thinking,
four
man.
Nights at Riverside or French Quarter. You know, I don't know. So it's a tough call.
I know. It really is. So I'll be excited to see.
Me too. And it'll be a good, you know, it's a good thing to have to make that call, because that means you're getting to stay at Walt Disney World for free, which
that's
is very
great.
Cool. So
wow.
Yeah.
Very awesome.
I
so.
Get the 2 deluxe ones, and then out of pocket pay for pop for a couple of extra nights, and you've got it made.
You know, that could be a good solution, really. It could. That way, you know, if you've never stayed at a deluxe, that's a good call.
Always thinking out of the box.
That's right. And today we're going to get into our topic, and with Labor Day, you know, coming up on Monday, it's typically the back-to-school time for a lot of school districts, but if you're in my school district, you feel like you've been back in school for about 3 months. You know, we went back on August 5th, so not so much in St. Louis, but I know people on the East Coast do go back to school around Labor Day. So we're going to look at edutainment in the parks of Walt Disney World. And by edutainment, we know that, you know, it's an attraction that you enjoy and you get a lot of entertainment out of, but you leave the attraction saying, hey, you know what, I learned something, or I can take something away from this to become a better person, or to... you know, do something to help out the world. So this was Ricky's idea. So we're going to kind of go park by park and pick one, you know, our most edutainal. How would you say that? educational, edutainment. I don't know how you'd say that.
That's the way.
That isn't how you would say it. I guess the one that represents edutainment the best, and then a runner up. So I'm not even going to try it. Very nice. And I'm going to leave this in the show because, you know, that's who I am. I screw up all the time.
You're
educational? Exactly, maybe. So, anyway.
Educational opportunities
yes,
from that
exactly.
mistake.
There are plenty. That's what I tell
Don't
my kids.
Say that.
Yes, Mr. Ramen makes many mistakes often. So, anyway. Ricky, let's go to the Magic Kingdom. So, you know, what do you think is your best demonstration of edutainment at the Magic Kingdom?
I think this one is probably one of the more obvious ones, but I'm going to go with the Hall of Presidents because you can learn so much more about the nation's history and the role of the presidents. I really like the refurb that they did with this. I really think you learn more with the refurb. And so I really think that this one, I got so much out of it this last time that I went. I mean, seriously, I learned so much. And actually, Brian learned so much that he ended up buying a book about the presidents afterwards in the gift shop. So he wanted to read and learn more. So see, there is that too. So they do have books in the gift shop that you can get to learn more about the presidents. But I definitely think that this is one of the best examples of edutainment in all of Walt Disney World.
You know, I think, though, that if you purchase a book that's, you know, a nonfiction piece as you're leaving the attraction, then it has to make the list. I mean, obviously.
Exactly. Exactly. I actually really want to read this book, too. Like, it's like the everything guide to the, I don't remember what it was exactly. But seriously, it was a really good book, and it made him want to pick it up and read it. And I want to read it, too. So I just need time to read.
Nice. Was it like secrets you didn't know about Zachary Fillmore? Or Millard Fillmore. See, I got Zachary Taylor and Millard Fillmore mixed up. I need to go see Hall of Presidents. Exactly.
President,
no, that was a mashup there. It was Zachary Taylor and Millard Fillmore. I was thinking of, like, who are the most two obscure presidents, and they kind of got in my head there. So, anyway. Again, another mistake. It's going to be full of them today. Obviously, it's one of those days. We're only 10 minutes in.
Mike
Wonderful.
Is already on vacation.
Very nice. It's Labor Day. What are you doing? All right, that's a good start, though, because I agree with you there. That's very educational. And there's a lot of show there, though, that makes it exciting to go in. So, Debbie, what do you think? Magic Kingdom.
Are you ready for this? Carousel of Progress.
Yes.
I like that one because it takes you everywhere from, like, around the 1900s, where they're talking about gas lamps and a kitchen pump, hand-cranked like a washing machine. And it goes all the way through the different steps of how electricity came in. They have now the ice box into today's technology. So I love that you can sit there and just see them talk on the various kinds of phones or wear the different types of clothing. And I just think that it steps you through a timeline that gives us a better appreciation of where we're at today.
No, I absolutely agree with you. That was going to be my top pick as well, was Carousel of Progress, because, again, it puts the how the American family has moved from the beginning of the 1900s to, you know, probably like the 1990s. And you actually get to see examples of what a stove looked like and a sink and, you know, kind of the decor of the kitchen and so forth. And I think that it is it's a great commentary, especially for kids. And I mean, even for folks my age that, you know, you've seen these things in like black and white pictures, you know, snapshots from your parents, but you actually get to see what the kitchenettes looked like and, you know, how gaudy it looked or whatever, you know, but it's neat because it takes you there. And I agree. That would have been my top pick as well.
There you go.
Cool. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, so mine is kind of a whole area. And I chose Main Street USA just because, you know, especially it really kind of demonstrates, you know, kind of the history of our country and gives some examples of that played out through architecture and some other things too. But specifically, I was thinking of the flag retreat, and I really thought of this as an educational experience, edutainment experience, because the flag retreat is sort of, I want to say, like a lost art. Not that it doesn't still happen, but it doesn't quite have the hoopla that it may have had in the past or carry with it, you know, some of that meaning. And at Disney World in particular, you know, they choose a veteran of the day if there's one available and signed up for it. And I just think it's a great learning experience, especially for kids who may have never seen it before and just never had the opportunity to see it, that the way that the flag's brought down and treated with respect, and there could be someone there who fought for our country, and just opens the door to a lot of good conversation in that area.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so glad that you brought this up because, you know how I feel about the military and the sacrifices they make for all of us to get to do the great things we do in our country. But I've seen the flag retreat ceremony, I think, two or three times at Main Street USA at the Magic Kingdom. And it's moving. I mean, it's moving like other things aren't at Walt Disney World, because like you said, the times I was there, there was a veteran of the day, and they would recognize this soldier, you know, or veteran that, you know, has fought, and they, you know, would say their war, and you could tell that it meant so much to the person who had sacrificed for everybody that was there, and so many people were passing by and not even noticing what's going on, which was kind of, you know, I guess, you know, you're on vacation, you don't expect to be a part of, all of a sudden you're walking into the Magic Kingdom, and there's this very serious ceremony that has a lot of significance. But I'll tell you, you know, like you said, Paige had never seen anything like that before, and it really opened her eyes up to, you know, soldiers aren't just people on TV. They're people that come to Walt Disney World. They're people in your community. And it was something that, you know, I really want to see again and again, because it reminds me of how good we have it and the sacrifices that are made by, you know, soldiers and veterans.
That's a great example of it. So I'm so happy that guests can go to Walt Disney World and experience some of this.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And, you know, and kind of on that, just real quick, I really wish that Disney would do more for our veterans and our active military and their families. I know that they do a good job of, you know, doing discounted tickets and so forth, and they have Shades of Green, which is awesome. But, you know, just personally, I wish that, you know, every soldier could experience Walt Disney World and have that time with their families. I know it would, you know, cost a lot and stuff, you know, and I'm a dreamer. It's probably not fiscally responsible, but I just think that, you know, I know how much I appreciate the time with my family down there, and I get to be with my family every single day. You know, if I hadn't seen my family in 12 months, 14 months, 15 months, to be able to spend time at Walt Disney World would be just a treasure to be kept forever. So, you know, I hope they can move that way to even give veterans more of that.
That'd be awesome.
I totally, yeah, that would be, that's a, yeah, I agree totally, Mike, because if it wasn't for them giving us our freedom, we wouldn't have the luxuries and the things that we do today, especially going to Walt Disney World in a freedom, a setting of freedom.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, there's a real connection, I think, between the message of the Disney parks and the military, you know, because we celebrate our country, we celebrate where we come from, and we celebrate the diversity of the planet and how everybody should be working together. And that's basically, you know, what our military is out there and other countries trying to, you know, help the people that can't defend themselves. So we won't go forever on this, but that's just something I feel really strongly about. And I hope that Disney, you know, they've done a good job so far, but I hope they keep going with that and even expanding it out, because those people deserve it like nobody else. So, we're going to go with one more from the Magic Kingdom, kind of an honorary mention, maybe an oddball pick that didn't quite make our number one spot. But, you know, hey, it's kind of edutainment. So, Ricky, what do you think?
This is going to be a weird one.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. I am going with actually Tom Sawyer Island. I think that this teaches a lot of people it about a little bit more about the book of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, and maybe just maybe it will get them to pick up the book and read it and see what, you know, it actually is all about, and then be able to visualize what they saw, you know, there. And I really think that would be a great idea for people to just pick up the book, read it, and then go visit Tom Sawyer Island and see what was visualized, or reverse it.
Or at least read it on their Kindle.
Right, exactly.
Maybe not pick up a book. I mean, that's going pretty far. But, you know,
I know,
read it on your,
you know,
iPad.
Again, what am I talking about? Books. Oh, my gosh. Who needs books? Yeah.
We're beta mouse here, man. We don't talk about books. Exactly. We're technology. So whatever. All right. So, Debbie, one that maybe was kind of a different pick.
Swiss Family Treehouse. To me, I like the way that they, you take basically nothing that you start with, and I like the way that they intertwined pieces of the ship, things of that nature, and to me, I just sort of enjoy that rustic feel where they just took what they had and basically made certain things like bowls out of gourds and what have you, and the kitchen utensils. So I really enjoy seeing how they were clever enough to pick some of the things that they did to make a home out of what they had.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, it's absolutely kind of using, you know, that what you have around you to survive and stuff like that. And again, it gets back to literature where they might pick up the Robinson Crusoe book because of that.
There you go.
Very cool. Well, mine would be, and this is a stretch, you know, it is a stretch, but Jungle Cruise. And you're probably thinking, yeah, okay, you can learn corny jokes, which is, you know, hey, that's half of life right there. You know, it's everything to be learned isn't to be learned in books. You got to know some corny jokes. But there's slightly a little bit of geography in the Jungle Cruise. At least you maybe will be in denial and, you know, the Mekong rivers in Asia. And okay, that's a stretch. So maybe not. You know, there's a little geography. I'm stretching it here, but that's fun. So anyway, I love
it.
Well,
it's honorable mention, like, yeah, it's that's not right. Like your
it didn't. Yeah, it wasn't Carousel of Progress, but there's a little geography there. I mean, slightly. So Pam finishes up for the Magic Kingdom.
I picked the railroad. You know, I don't know. A lot of people know that there's a steam engine tour that you can actually go on where, of course, they would go in more depth of this. But I think that this is kind of an interesting subject because it is really a working steam engine. And that's probably not something that a lot of people have ever seen. There's just not the opportunity for that. And to just even talk about, you know, what goes into creating the steam that may power an engine, how would you do that, and things like that. That's a great topic right there.
And that's a lost art that nobody would get really to see anywhere else. And, I mean, these aren't models. These are real working steam engines.
Right, yeah. I don't have a steam engine in my town. So.
You don't?
I mean, we do have to fire up the steam car. We do have the crank car there. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's head over to the Animal Kingdom. Let's go that way. And we'll start off with Debbie, because I know this is one of your favorite parks. So something that gives you an edutainment at the Animal Kingdom. Man, this is just, that is a hard word to make, you know, into different forms. Go ahead.
I'm being educated by all the words you're making up.
I'm making them up. Right. Exactly. I am having a bad day. I apologize, listeners.
That's okay. You're loved. My favorite, you know, Rafiki's. I love Rafiki's. You got the conservation station where you're taught about everything from butterflies to baboons. You're able to see a surgery. You're able to ask cast members. You're able to hear from the veterinarians themselves. So I love the conservation station. But as soon as you get off the little train, I love that because you go into the habitat where they've got the little monkeys. I just love, they're so cute. You just want to put them in your pocket and take them home. But the cast members are so savvy when it comes to all the different animals. So they're really good about teaching you about their eating habits, their mating habits, their living habits. And then you just go straight from there, like, into the conservation station. And then the affection section. You can sit there and you can watch the animals mix together and pet them and love them. I just think it's a wonderful all-around educational portion.
You know, I think the cast members back there, too, really get a kick out of talking with kids that might have, you know, a slight interest or even more of an interest than that in animals and maybe, you know, encourage them to pursue a career in being a veterinarian someday or something like that. Because, you know, obviously they have a love of animals because they're working there. And I think that that gives them an opportunity to kind of pass on their knowledge to folks that, you know, hey, 20 years down the line, this kid could be a vet and could be doing something really special for animals.
Absolutely. And like, I love that they had a question and answer. I believe I did say this on another show, but it was so cute. This cast member was answering questions, and one of the little girls raised her hand and said, "Do birds get the hiccups?" And it was so funny because you could see the cast member just stop and go, "Okay, how do I answer this one?"
No.
So it was wonderful. Yeah, I love that because, again, the kids are able to ask somebody about the animals.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a good call because, I mean, that's obvious. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but, I mean, there's so much great information you could gather there. The longer you stay, the more you're going to learn. And it's also very, you know, there's a lot of entertainment because you get to see the animals. That's fun to do.
Absolutely. You bet.
Cool. All right, Pam, what do you think?
I chose the two jungle treks, the outdoor trails there, the Maharaja and the Pingani Forest Trail, because I think that this really offers some great opportunities. One of them gets you, in addition to a number of other animals, up close and personal with gorilla. And I think to be that close is really kind of humbling almost. The eyes, the expression, I mean, it's just not an opportunity we have that often. I know I've said that a few times during this show, but it really isn't. I mean, we have a beautiful zoo in Pittsburgh, but to be able to see these gorilla in such a nice open area interacting with each other, I think was really educational for us. And it's one of our favorite things to do when the weather's not super, super cold or super, super hot, which seems to be what it is every time I go.
Right.
So anyways, but the other one puts you really up close and personal with the tigers. And I think it's really interesting to see, specifically with the Tigers, the opportunities that they give to keep the Tigers interacting, not specifically with the crowd, but interacting with their environment. They use different spices. They hide things in ice cubes. They are all kinds of different smells to keep those Tigers from getting bored. And I know that we've all been to the zoo and seen an animal who has worn a path on this little enclosure that they're allowed to be in, and it's really kind of depressing. And this, I mean, I realize it's not out in the open, but they do have a fairly large area to be in, the opportunity to play in the water, out of the water, things like that. And Disney seems to be giving them lots of opportunities to keep their brain active as well as their body. So I love to see that too. And I think there's some great edutainment in that.
I agree though, because you get to see the animals acting more like they would in the wild, you know, than just being penned up and on display, which is great because it's good for the guests and good for the animals.
Yeah, right.
Cool. Well, mine would be, and it's pretty simple, but it's actually those cast members that on the way into the Animal Kingdom that many times I have run past as I'm going to Everest. But if you take the chance to stop by and talk to them, they'll have, you know, maybe a bird or maybe some kind of a small reptile, or, you know, they have actual animals there. Sometimes they'll have like a tarantula or something in a little box, and they'll give you a lot of great information about that animal, and you get a firsthand encounter with an animal, which you don't always get. You know, a lot of places you might get to see a model or a picture of something, but right here you're getting an actual encounter with the animal and the cast member who's very knowledgeable about that. So I think it's fun to get to see an animal up close, maybe even handle the animal or pet the animal, and then get to learn a lot about it. And I think that's something that's very much overlooked by a lot of guests, including myself, but it's an opportunity that I think people should take advantage of, you know, when you get the opportunity. So go ahead, Ricky, what do you think for Animal Kingdom?
Okay, so I know I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to go with the Flights of Wonder because you do get to learn about birds, and you get to learn about some of their habits and things like that. Like I said, I don't have the best because I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I do know that you do get a lot of information from seeing the show. So definitely, and, you know, I'm not going to say dinosaur, so, you know, that's just not going to happen. So...
That's funny. Yeah, that one's more just entertainment because I like to see you
scared.
Yeah,
exactly. And or not so much.
For me it is, you know, when I'm riding with you. So anyway, well, we're going to give our runner-up one real quick, you know, not spend a whole lot of time on it. I would say the obvious call for the Animal Kingdom would be the safari. You get close encounters with all kinds of wild animals, which is very cool, but I don't think we need to really elaborate on that. It's, you know, it's fun to see, and you can learn a lot. So we'll go around again. Debbie, any other runner-ups for the Animal Kingdom?
I actually picked the Pangani Forest Exploration Trail because of the animals. Again, you walk through the trail, you've got cast members there explaining various parts of the trail and about all the animals that you walk. So, yeah, I definitely like those walking trails as well.
Excellent. I agree. And Pam, what do you think for a runner-up?
I picked, and I kind of lumped the Nemo show and the Lion King show into one category because I think that this is kind of akin to a Broadway style show, and it may really just give adults, children, someone, you know, a kind of insight into that, a desire to see more. And it always is, you know, I think a rewarding experience to go see the arts in a different way. So that's why I would call that one edutainment.
You know, and it's cool that you appreciate the arts. I mean, a lot of times teachers and parents and a lot of folks don't even think about the arts as being something that's educational, but that's, you know, really important to everybody's way of life.
It is. And I think that sometimes, you know, we know that those programs are often cut in schools or one of the first ones to go. So this may, you know, give kids inspiration to do something like that with their life. So
excellent. Yeah. And definitely, you know, a Disney, if you have a kid that's a Disney fan and you're a Disney family, like a lot of our families are, that's a great opportunity to go down there and kind of get your first taste of performance and stuff like that. And even doing the technical stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Ricky, what do you think? Runner up.
I'm going to go with the Oasis. It's kind of like around what you were talking about, Mike, except for there are all those little trails and areas that you can kind of explore around the Oasis and also Discovery Island. You know, I like those two areas for exploration.
I just wish they had a boat going on Discovery Island still. I mean, that river just seems like so empty and dead. They need to do something with that.
It does. I agree. But
anyway.
What are you going to do?
I know, exactly. I mean, I can't smuggle in a canoe or something. So
right. Paddle. Let's go. Come on. Let's paddle.
That water looks kind of dirty down there. You know, I've heard that if you fall out of the Jungle Cruise, totally off topic, that if you fall out of the Jungle Cruise and you touch that water, that you immediately have to get a tetanus shot. That's what I heard on the Keys to the Kingdom tour. So I wonder if that's true for that river over in Animal Kingdom. I bet it is.
Well, that's why the boats no longer run.
Exactly. That's somebody right. fell out. They had to get a tetanus
Let's
shot.
Let's start our own rumor.
Let's see. Oh my gosh, yes. Rumor of the week. Very nice. All right, so let's head over to the studios, and I'll go first on this one. And this is kind of a pick that you might not think of, and it kind of goes along with what Pam just said. And I would say American Idol experience. And just for the fact, it doesn't have anything to do with the singing or anything like that, but I think that it's really cool for kids to kind of see like how TV shows are put on, because kids are only going to see, you know, what you see on the final cut and what you see on the TV itself. But it's kind of cool to see that, you know, there's a warm-up act for the audience many times before the show goes live, and how the lights work and how teleprompters work. You know, I work with my kids each day at the Gifted Center. We put on a news program from our high school where we go in and run cameras and run switcherboards and audio sound boards and stuff like that. And they love this stuff. And it's an opportunity for them to maybe someday down the line pursue a career, you know, working behind the scenes at their local TV station or something like that. And I think it's really cool because kids don't even know that stuff exists. And to see how things work behind the scenes is always a lot of fun. So American Idol experience would be my pick. So what do you think, Debbie?
One man's dream.
Good.
I love that. That is my favorite attraction. Educational. It's absolutely, you step in from when, you know, basically Walt's life history, when he was born, history about his family. And it's not just about Walt, but it's about the progressiveness of tick pictures. And it even talked about how Snow White was the actual first movie that used that as a vehicle for merchandising. And it just would go, you just keep walking through and adding more and more history, and you can see how they start doing the different, you know, triplanes of the movies and just everything. You just continue to walk through to where they are today. So I think it's just an amazing piece of history.
Absolutely. It's almost a history lesson in itself. I mean, not just about Walt, but about how, you know, basically it's even like technology, how it's progressed.
Absolutely. Yes.
Good call. So what do you think, Ricky?
I am actually going with the Magic of Disney Animation. I think that that's a fabulous thing because you get to learn how to draw a character. And especially for, you know, how we talked about the kids and the arts, this is a great way if you've got a child who, or if you yourself, are more inclined to artistic
You caught it for me, look.
Capabilities? you know, then it's a good way to learn. I mean, I'm not so artistic. I think if I tried to draw something, it would look like a stick figure because that's about the abilities that I have. But I think that, you know, it's a really good learning experience for those who actually can draw something.
Well, and again, it can inspire kids to maybe pursue animation or, you know, illustrating a book someday. It's exactly what it is. Very cool. Yeah, that's a great call. And it's a hidden gem at the studios. A lot of people skip that. Yeah, very nice. Some of the best cast members work there, too.
Definitely.
Little hint. Okay, Pam, what do you think?
Well, I again lumped two together, and I lumped Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster together to start the physics discussion.
There you go. I'm like, how are you doing this?
And I think that, first of all, I think that it's really, you know, an interesting thing to to contemplate centripetal force and why you're actually staying there, and Tower of Terror that you're actually being pulled down faster than the speed of gravity. So not exactly physics, you know, there are some physics topics there, but there's some other science and math topics that you can definitely go into. Personally, I'm not leading this discussion, but I'm putting it out there as the inspiration and the tool to go and seek more, you know, more information on that. Physics was a long time ago when I was in high school. I'm just going to say that. I mean, you know, I get many of the basic principles I have to live with every day, but I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to explain all of that. But I think that, you know, when you're talking about how you start from a dead stop and you accelerate so quickly, and talk about how that could possibly be done and the tools that are actually used to do that. The information is definitely out there on the internet. We've all read it. And that's a great place for the conversation to start.
You know, I think that would be really handy, not necessarily in the moment, you know, because you're obviously on Tower and on Rock and Roller Coaster, you're enjoying the experience at the time. But I think, like you said, as a child goes through maybe middle school or high school and these topics come up, you could relate back to that trip and say, well, remember when, you know, we were falling faster than gravity in the Tower of Terror? And then, you know, they have some what we call in the educational community schema or like background knowledge. They have experienced it at some level, and now they can relate, and the topic's a lot easier to understand.
Well, and in my case, I was actually thinking of it as we would study this and looking for an excuse for a field trip.
Well, that's totally my thing. You know, hey, man, field trip, let's go. You know, space shuttle launch, let's load up the bus. Let's go
that's
to Florida.
Right.
Exactly. No, but that's a good call, though.
Field trip.
Exactly. Yeah, I was thinking, when you said that, I was like, oh, man, I could totally justify taking my gifted kids on these roller coasters in Tower of Terror. That's awesome.
Nice. So, but I gave you the idea, so I have to come,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yes, definitely. We need chaperones.
And I'm the one who came up with the topic, so I get to come, too.
And Debbie, you're already
and
in Florida.
I have to supervise to make sure you all don't embarrass everybody, so.
Debbie, I've done a great job of doing that on today's show, you know, many times. I'm so embarrassed already. Anyway, so, exactly. So quickly, my honorable mention for the studios, there's not a whole lot of other things I can think of, would maybe be Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, because again, for the same reasons, you kind of get to see how things are done. You know, it's not always what it appears on the big screen. There's lots of tricks and stuff like that, and I think it opens up kids' eyes to understand that, you know, stuff they see on TV is not always real, and, you know, it kind of can lead to a discussion that everything you read on the internet is not real either. You know, it can appear to be something when
it's
really
not.
Isn't. Exactly. Except us. You know, we're really making a lot of mistakes today, so that's how it is. So, Debbie, anything else honorable mention at the studios?
I actually like Lights Motor Action. I think that you can actually learn from that. You can
don't drive like this at home!
Basically, yes, that there's a there place go. For that kind of driving. Yeah, but I really like it because it's in a theme of a movie that they're trying to film a movie. I just think it's educational for people to see how they would actually try to film a movie and how the stunts are done. So I think that that's the educational part of that whole program.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, maybe the studios is really hitting its mark, because when the park's marketed and, you know, when it started, it was really to kind of give you a behind-the-scenes look of how things are done. And the way we're having our discussion today, it sounds like we are seeing that happening.
Absolutely. I think so. I absolutely do.
Cool. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Okay, this is a stretch, but I knew that this park was going to be the stretch for us. I picked Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Oh, God, here
oh, this
not sing like crap?
Right. Not for its oh-so-correct portrayal of life under the sea, but more, I thought it was a great opportunity for maybe parents and kids to come together and say, look, everyone feels like their parents don't understand, their sisters don't understand, their siblings don't understand, and this is something that maybe we can take from this and think, well, maybe if we both step back, and how could, you know, Ariel and her dad have avoided Ariel turning into one of the Ursula's sea creatures down there? You know, everyone acted a little rash. Okay, is this really stretched?
You actually did rash.
You
yeah,
did a good job.
She
on
did. It. You rationalized it. That was awesome.
That's a good job. Good job, Pam.
Thank you. I think I need some kind of award for that one.
I didn't know how you were going to get there, but you got there.
I didn't either. She did.
Very nice. All right, so Ricky, you know, there's probably only a Toy Story left, but go ahead.
Yeah, you learn how to put your toys out, you know, and let them play. No. Actually, I'm going with The Great Movie Ride. I think that you can learn a lot about the different movies from the past. So many movies that I know I haven't seen personally that you really can learn a lot about the history of movies from this attraction. And so I really think, especially for those movie buffs or kids who are getting into, you know, movies as, you know, like we said, a potential career or something like that, this is something that you need to see. I mean, we all know that there's those lists of like the top 100 movies that you need to see in your lifetime before you die. And I think about half of them are in this movie. So, in this attraction. So, You know, I think that that's a really good edutain. Okay, I can't do it either.
You can't do it either. It's impossible.
Educational.
That's it. I can't do it. Whatever.
That's it, though. No, but I think you bring up a great point with that, Ricky, because, you know, you can actually even look at, like, the social aspects of our culture, you know, moving to where we are today from where we were back in the time of the, you know, like the musicals and even before that with like Casablanca and stuff. I mean, when you watch the movie clips, okay, picture yourself in that room with the switchbacks and you're waiting to get in there, okay? Think about how many African Americans do you see in any of those movie clips? No, hardly any. And, you know, nowadays we've become more aware and, you know, we've come a long way since then. But I mean, I don't know if kids would ever notice that, but that's a good discussion to say that, you know what, it looks like our culture now is we're respecting everybody like we should. And back then it wasn't always that way. I mean, just little things like that. I mean, I can't think of, you know, it's like a lot of John Wayne and a lot of the dancing people and stuff. But, you know, it's a good discussion even about our social issues that we've had.
This is true. This is true. You can think of anything that'd be educational.
Just give it up. It's impossible to say that word. Why did
we
try this?
I was going to say educational, so, you know, but I don't think that'll work either.
You just sound uneducated when you say that word.
It's just uneducated.
Exactly. All right, so let's finish up with Epcot. And I think this one, honestly, at Epcot, I think this park does this the best. You could really pick any attraction, I think, at Epcot. And really, you know, say that it has both educational value and entertainment value. I will say my number one for Epcot is Spaceship Earth. And it's because it really does, as a sixth grade teacher, it really goes with our curriculum. We talk about early man and how man had to learn how to communicate with each other to survive. And, you know, once we could communicate, we could do better things, you know, more efficiently. And how communication has progressed over the years. You know, I'm not doing very well at it today, but the ride does a great job of explaining it a lot better than this podcast today. But I think that it does a great job. I mean, I think it's fun to ride on just to have a good time and to see the, you know, the animatronics and all the scenes. But there's a lot to be learned, you know, from Gutenberg's printing press to, you know, how you just have everything, you know, how they talk about the beginning of the personal computer and that last scene that they've added.
And
the go-go boots with Beyonce. Yes. So you got to learn about Beyonce being in Spaceship Earth. So anyway.
Right, exactly. Yes, just Beyonce who's in there.
Exactly. So don't put a ring on it and go ahead, Pam.
Is it me?
Yes, it's
Sorry,
Pam.
I was laughing.
If you like, they should have put a ring on.
Exactly. I'm sitting here singing that in my head now. Thank you. I am going to say, first and foremost, the American Adventure for, you know, a lot of the other reasons we talked about prior to. But I think that, you know, I know there's always some criticism that it doesn't present the whole picture of history. And hello, what book does? What depiction does? You can't do it. It does have some really great points, and my favorite is always the montage at the end where it shows the faces of people who have made kind of an impact on our more recent history as a country. And just, you know, I think it's kind of an interesting depiction of the people that are there. You have everyone from Walt Disney and Jim Henson to sports figures and things, and, you know, people...
She almost did it, and things like that.
I know. I'm trying not to do it. But people from all walks of life and in different sections of our country. And I think that just did a great job of showing how someone young, old, of a different walk of life can have such an impact on us as a country, so...
And the thing is, too, is it moves you, I think, when you leave that attraction to go out there and feel bigger than you actually are, that you can truly make a difference just being you.
And if you don't cry at it, there's something a little wrong with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. If you are dry-eyed coming out of that thing, you have no heart.
Hello? Go back and watch it harder because you're not getting the meaning.
Exactly. Man, I'm sobbing like a baby, so that's how I justify it.
Exactly.
All right, Debbie, what do you think for Epcot?
Living with the land.
Good call.
I love that. Yes. It's it's the ride. It talks about agriculture, the technology. I love when the boat goes through the different greenhouses. You've got the tropical greenhouses. But in addition, the whole ride is centered around the different types of vegetation, the different types of climates. You've got the tropics. You've got the desert. You've got the just everything. I mean, it goes through so many different scenarios. And then, you go through, they talk about the hydroponics. I love the tomato tree, and it explains all about the tomato tree. And if you get a chance, please take the Behind the Seeds tour. It doesn't take very long. It's fairly inexpensive. It is very nice. They even let you taste some of the vegetables that they grow there. And we got to taste a cucumber. So I enjoy that because it has so many different facets to it.
You know, you can actually do that on the boat ride too, taste the stuff.
Right. Yeah. Jump off. That's, no, get back really. On that, the next boat.
That was just a joke. Don't do it.
That is an don't educational way of how to meet the Disney
yes,
security.
That's exactly
people.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Well, I didn't know Walt Disney World had a prison. Very nice. That's a good call, though. And that's cool because, you have two different experiences. The boat ride gets you through it kind of quickly, but I'm sure, and I've never done the tour, but I've always been curious about it. The behind-the-scenes tour gets you the chance to really slow down and learn more, I guess.
Exactly. Plus, I love it when it shows you how they make the Mickey-shaped pumpkin heads, like the pumpkins. I love it how they show how they encase the piece of vegetable and how it grows into that shape of the Mickey case that it surrounds. So, I love it all. I think it's very fascinating.
Awesome. All right, Ricky, what do you think?
Okay, I'm going to cheat here, and Jay's going to be mad because I'm cheating again. But I am actually going to go with the entire World Showcase area. I know that Pam talked about the American Adventure, and yes, you definitely learn on the American Adventure. But I think that you can learn something around the entire promenade there. If you don't learn something while walking around World Showcase, then there's something wrong with you, as Pam would say.
Seriously, there is. It's too easy.
Because, there is something for everyone. And, just every country that's represented has something to learn from. And I really, whether it's the food, which is, the all-important part right there, or, something about their culture or their history or their heritage or whatever, you can learn. And all you have to do is take a stroll around the promenade.
Yeah, I totally agree there. Because you're going to get, you could even just the cuisine. I mean, that you can learn something there. So
sorry for cheating, but
no, that's, we expected it.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Pam's been lumping hers together.
That's
all
true.
Right, she has been.
I did not consider that cheating. I mean, I think that my cheating is different than Ricky's cheating. She knew she was cheating and considered it cheating. I did not consider it cheating.
Thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome.
All right, so we're going to go quickly through our runner-ups. I would say my runner-up would be Mission Space, just for the fact that you can learn, every time I get into that attraction, I get nervous and I get sweaty, and it's a ride at a Disney park when you boil down to it, and it's you're boiled down to it, but I can imagine what the astronauts really feel like when they're on the shuttle with the real fuel and going into space. I know that it pushes back on your chest and you get, the sensation of launch, but to really feel that as an astronaut would be just incredible. And astronauts, again, are true heroes to me, and just riding that ride, I get an appreciation for what they go through, on a very small level, but it still freaks me out. I'm like, whoa, man, this has to be crazy. So it gives me some educational information there, and I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun as well. So, Pam, one more quickly for Epcot.
Well, of course, I'm going to say my favorite attraction, which is Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. I'm just kidding.
I'm going, right? Yeah, it's really educational now.
I'm going with the seas, and particularly all of the aquariums. I guess I hate to call them aquariums, but you know what I'm trying to say here. All the open water displays that people can go and check out. And it's funny to me, I've met a few families who have not taken the time to do this because they've been running from one attraction to the other. So once they get off the actual ride part that's in the seas, then they leave that whole pavilion. But there is so much more to see, including the manatees and all the other fish that you can see, that really take the time to explore each one of those levels.
Absolutely, because you don't have that at home. It on that level is as large as that is, with as many different species of fish and stuff.
No, and that tank can fit Spaceship Earth. I'm just saying,
that's incredible. That's unbelievable.
I know.
All right, Ricky, what do you think?
I am going with, surprisingly enough, the Imagination Pavilion, because, I know that it seems like a strange choice, but using your imagination is one of the best things that you can do to learn, and so I really think that learning to use your imagination and really think outside the box is a huge tool and asset for people. I mean, look at the Imagineers. That's what they do every day, you know. So I definitely think people can learn a lot just by learning to imagine.
And I thought you'd just say Future World.
I'm gonna cheat again and say Future World just as a whole.
Very nice. All right, Debbie, you have the final say. What do you think?
Interventions East and West.
Good call.
I love that. It teaches you everything from, like in Stormstruck, I love to do that because you sit down and they'll you feel like you're in the middle of this big, huge storm. You've got the wind going. They spray water. It spritz water on you. You can actually figure out, they teach you, you know, do you put the, you know, what kind of roof do you put? Do you do, what kind of shingles would you use? How, you know, how big of a garage door would be, one door or two door? I mean, everything. And then you go back through to see if you did well, if you tested well on it. So I love that part. That, and of course, the sum of all thrills. That's my new hottie that I enjoy.
I love it.
And then, of course, they also have the Great Piggy Bank Adventure, which I think is great for kids to learn about saving money and what to do if you're going to maybe invest. Things like that. So I think it's a great, both of them, they make it fun. They make them all fun.
And do they still have that Where's the Fire? Paige used to love that.
I believe that they do.
That's a good one.
I think, I'm going to say yes, that they do.
That's a fun one. We used to love, you know, finding all the fire hazards with those little magical, they're kind of like flashlights, big like lanterns. And yeah, we had a good time in there.
I have not done that. I think they've been sponsored by Liberty Mutual.
It is.
I have no, but I didn't see that. I didn't participate in that the last time I was there.
We'll have to find out. Somebody on the boards will have to post if it's still there, because it's a fun one for like the younger set, because it teaches them fire safety.
Well, I just Googled it, and it says that it is still current, but that's, I don't know how long this has been updated, so.
Cool. Well, Ian, you know, you brought up that Stormstruck, which is kind of leading me to, you know, wish everybody, all of our friends that are on the East Coast this weekend, the best of luck with Hurricane Earl. Hopefully it stays out to sea and everybody's safe out there, but you know, our thoughts are with you, and we're praying that it stays well out into the Atlantic Ocean to keep everybody safe.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so we're going to get out of here and encourage you to stop by our website at www.brguestpodcast.com. We want to hear what you think about how bad today's show was, you know, by your host, and I apologize again. I know, it was, I feel bad. I feel like I let my fans down today. It wasn't a good show, but, you know, I'll do better next Friday or Monday. I'll do better on Monday. So, anyway, yeah, we want to hear what you think about, you know, back to school and how you can teach your kids at Walt Disney World. And there's just countless ways to do that. But just post some of those ideas on the thread for today's podcast. We'd sure appreciate it. And don't forget also that today's show was brought to you by touringplans.com. And hopefully Henry and Len will not get a hold of this episode. And but the best way to keep us going here is to drop by touringplans.com this weekend and check out all the great stuff they offer. You know,
that's something that can be edutainment right there. Lines, hello.
There you go.
And on all the properties that they use to figure out all the wait time stuff, that is definitely some edutainment right there.
Yeah, I absolutely think they use like exponents and integers and, you know, the distributive property and all
you
that stuff.
You said some things that I don't understand,
yes, exactly.
So I'm just going to nod my head and smile and
very
pretend
nice.
That.
Yeah, just talk to Len and he'll make you, you know, feel really smart. He's awesome. So anyway, if you want to go down to Walt Disney World, if you're heading down, you need a line subscription. It's going to get you in the right park on the right day. It's going to get you going in the right direction as far as what way to attack the attractions in the most efficient manner. See, I'm doing it again. Manager. Manner. This is just a bad show today. I apologize. So anyway, check out
nobody
our friends.
Can talk today.
Exactly. They're over at touringplans.com. Don't forget to check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. And our next Be Our Guest podcast live show is going to come your way on Sunday evening, September 19th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. And again, we'll do better than today's podcast, I promise. So we wish everybody a very happy Labor Day weekend. Enjoy that extra day off on Monday, and we appreciate you downloading our podcast so much. And thanks for laughing with us and putting up with me today, because I know that it wasn't great. So for Debbie, Ricky, and Pam, I'm Mike. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
There it was. Okay, I was like, why can't I hear you guys very well?
because I got my deep voice on tonight.
Ah, I see.
And I have my non-Pittsburgh accent voice on tonight.
Mike's got the sexy voice on tonight.
We're all going to work on something, and I'm going Barry White today for the podcast.
So why have you got the Barry voice, Barry White
know.
Voice?
I just don't want to be so tinny. I want to be a little deeper today. I'm working
okay.
on it.
Okay.
It's to be sexy.
Okay.
Got to do something since I didn't get into the NASA tweet up. Oh! Wish you a very happy... Yeah, exactly. So we wish you a very happy... I got to start this over again. I said Memorial Day. Jeez. Okay, hang on. 52. I am so bad. This is a terrible one. Okay, here we go.